Welcome to the Altus Group podcast series. Today we're speaking with Brandon Hayes, the senior manager at Altus Group, and he's going to be discussing his upcoming IPT 2016 conference panel presentation, which is titled Sales/Use and CI Joint Session, Managing the Cost of Free Money. And Brandon, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Matt. How are you?
Doing well, thank you, and welcome back. It's great to have you, and let's jump right in. So give us a high-level overview of your upcoming IPT 2016 conference panel presentation.
Sure. So this year what we've decided to do was kind of look at it from almost a hybrid perspective. For anyone that's attended an IPT conference in the past, you know that it's intended to cover a broad brush of topics that include everything from income franchise, property tax, sales and use tax, and then also to typically has a little smattering of credit incentive type topics. This year, what we've chosen to do for our particular panel is to combine the sales and use tax and credits and incentives into a single panel to kind of show how those two intertwine. And what this particular session is intended to cover is, as the title alludes, you know, managing the cost of the free money. So a lot of times people are focused on obtaining a particular award, whether it's a low-interest loan, or if it's some type of a grant or a rebate. A lot of time is focused on obtaining the award without as much focus on maintaining the administrative burden that is typically affiliated with that type of an award. And so we're going to try to focus on that and kind of cover some topics that relate to, what are some of the larger awards out there. We'll be talking about one in particular for the state of Texas and another one for Arkansas. And then also, too, kind of going into some of the best practices with regards to how to maintain those awards.
That's great. Let's dive a little bit deeper. So, you know, I understand that a lot of organizations pour a significant amount of time and energy into obtaining a desired CNI benefit, but only to find out that the real work doesn't begin until after a benefit has been awarded, much like you alluded to. So tell us a little bit more about this.
Well, without giving away the recipe to the secret sauce, at a high level, what we're going to be talking about here is when you go out and approach a jurisdiction, whether it's a state or local jurisdiction, there's a lot of advertised programs out there that will help to incentivize businesses to either create new jobs or maintain new jobs, help to increase capital investment within a particular community. And a lot of time and focus is spent on what the maximum benefit could potentially be given any particular project. What a lot of people don't do is spend the adequate amount of time with regards to reviewing the fine print to ensure that they are going to be able to maintain their end of the bargain with regards to the particular monies that they're trying to obtain. And so what this particular session is going to focus on is, where do you need to look to make sure that you really understand what it is that you're getting into, and then also, too, how do you manage that particular process so that there aren't going to be any surprises at the end with regards to potential clawbacks or shortfalls that may put that particular award into jeopardy.
That's great. Let's shift a little bit here and talk about some of the best practices for managing the expectations and various admin costs for obtaining and maintaining various types of CNI. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So a lot of times the more significant awards obviously have a lot of scrutiny. What this session is going to focus on with regards to best practices is, again, kind of understanding exactly what it is that you're signing up for whenever you're going out to pursue one of these awards or a particular designation to receive some type of favorable tax treatment. And then really kind of digging into what that's going to look like long term. Some of these particular awards or designations could have a multiple year effect. And so a lot of times what we see is that people you spend a lot of time focusing on it whenever it's kind of hot and heavy. But then as the years kind of roll on, it just kind of takes a back burner position to some other higher priority within the organization. And then what typically happens, or that isn't typically, but sometimes what happens is that we see that there's a big, you know, rush at the end to make sure that you're meeting all the deadlines that the particular jurisdiction has imposed upon the company in order to ensure that, you know, the company is holding up their end of the bargain. And so what we're going to be doing is kind of focusing on, you know, how to look at it, how to frame it, how to set it up and manage it so that, you know, it is easier to pursue and maintain that, you know. And I always use the adage that, and it's not original to me, that you know, the only way to eat an elephant is kind of one bite at a time. And so that's what we're really going to be digging into, is trying to show people what they need to be expecting with regards to this award so that you can plan around it and ultimately to obtain that award without any surprises at the end.
That's great. So tell us real quick about the overall learning objectives for attendees that are going to come see your session.
Well, from a learning objectives perspective, what we're going to try to cover, well, what we will cover as part of the presentation, and we're going to help companies or attendees, rather, identify some of the common issues and pitfalls that will be associated with the compliance function of a credits incentive type award. We'll also be discussing some planning and negotiation strategies on how to minimize potential triggers or clawback provisions. You know, it's one of those deals that you don't know what you don't know. So we're going to try to help expose some of the typical clawbacks and triggers that may cause a particular clawback and some of the various types of programs that we've seen across the country so that you'll at least be aware of it as you're going in to negotiate these deals. And, you know, if there's not going to be something that you can comply with because it's against company policy or, you know, limited resources, whatever the case may be, then if you know that that might be a potential issue up front, then we're going to try to hopefully help people kind of come up with different ways that they could approach the jurisdiction so that those folks are satisfied, but you're still being able to operate within the, you know, confines or constraints of your own organization. Then we're also going to kind of talk about some of the best practices for defending the award if it were to come under audit by a state or local jurisdiction. And then finally, we're going to identify and discuss ways to use the terms of those compliance agreements to the company's advantage.
Outstanding. Brandon, this has been a wonderful podcast and very insightful. And we went very deep today. Appreciate that. Before we sign off today, anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
I can't think of anything at this time other than we do hope to see everybody. I would love to have a packed room. I think there's going to be a lot here, whether your company is large or small and whether you're going for a you know, a large incentive award or just something that's more modest at a local level. I think there's going to be some good tips and tricks in here for everybody. And hope to see everyone there.
Perfect. What a great way to end this interview. For all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Altus Group podcast interview with Brandon Hayes, who's a senior manager at Altus Group, and he shared some insights into his upcoming IPT 2016 conference panel presentation, which is titled Sales/Use and CI Joint Session, Managing the Cost of Free Money. And Brandon, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.